This is session 4 for Satanic Powers Are Real. This is from the Satanism Course 101 with Shadow of the Darkness or Theology for the Third Millennium. Hey, welcome again. And obviously by this session, you are involved in listening and maybe looking up some of the resources and studying. Some are researchers, some are students, and some just want to be aware of the signs, symbols, and how we can bring ministry to the thousands upon thousands of Satanists and those who are involved in different levels of Satanism. So I want to encourage you today again that this knowledge is all about really trying to understand those who we're trying to evangelize. Also to realize that through biblical prophecy that satanic powers are ramping up, and that there are more and more New Agers, more and more Satanists, more and more people inclined to some of the hardcore realities of satanic power. So what you're studying now is vital. You cannot expose what you do not know. And I believe by knowing some things, because many of the seminars we've done in the 90s, we've had pastors stand up and say, "I'm glad you're telling us this. We had no idea." And parents and pastors and teachers and others have not had an idea of when they've seen signs, symbols, markings on books, their own children that are involved in the worship of Satan, whether it's a leaning towards psychosatanism, which we'll talk about in session 5, or it is a self-styled, or if they've literally been recruited by a group. So in the world that we live in today, we've seen an incredible growth. The 90s, again, I've said before, was kind of the heydays. And it's not that it's gone away. Some of it's gone underground. It continues to grow. We used to say in the 90s that the fastest growing subgroup among white middle class kids was Satanism, self-styled and popular Satanism. We say now, in this first decade, in the third millennium, that one of the fastest growing subgroups is among white middle class girls, and that's Wicca. And I will bring out some, just for your own studies, a little bit of information on Wicca, because again, it's a field of evangelism, but it's also a place where girls are opening up to goddess powers and powers that appeal to them, whereas Satanism would appeal to the boys. Both involve obtaining powers, both of them involve being a part of something, and both of them can be highly destructive in the physical sense, relational sense, and ultimately in the spiritual sense. So we're on session number 4, Satanic Powers Are Real. And let's just take a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we simply pray and ask for your insight. We thank you. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, we are shielded by God's power through faith. And we thank you that the armor of God we can have on and be living in to express and manifest the mighty, mighty power of God. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for the promise of protection. Thank you for the revelation of Psalm 91 and you overseeing our lives. We now come to, if you are using the notes, page 11 of the notes in the course Satanism 101. Number 1, biblical revelation reveals reality. Now this is about worldviews. And when you think in terms of a nihilist, existentialist, humanist, hedonist, and on and on and on, atheist, others, deist, there's also, in all of those philosophical forms and in some religious forms, they don't really come down to reality. I guess what I'm going to try to express here is this. Satan skews reality. There's subterfuge, there's seduction, there's deception. You know, when you're lying, you are altering reality. Matter of fact, the Greek word for aletheia, for truth, is aletheia. And that word is used in the New Testament so many times in reference to Jesus saying, "I am the truth," that we're to put on the shield, you know, the breastplate of truth. We're to have on, truth and righteousness and so forth. But the concept here is the truth of Scripture, Aletheia refers to honesty, being completely free of error and lies and darkness and so forth. But it also has and been translated as the word reality, dealing with what is really real. Real. Now listen, you are going to run into people that do not believe that satanic powers are real. They're skeptical. They can't help anybody. They're not grasping reality. For them and for some like that, it's too late sometimes in the sense that they come to their senses and realize that not only is God real and his power and love real, but everything the scripture says about God is real and everything the scripture says about Satan and demons are also real. So if we're going to live in a real world and we're going to have understanding and have knowledge, again, it's going to take the scriptures to do so because it peers through darkness. It literally shows us origins, the present, and endings. When Jesus himself arrived here, he clearly caused the manifestation of the nature of the satanic empire. I mean, demonization was going on for a long time. Again, fallen humanity would be tricked and guided into the worship of spirits, the acceptance of spirits. And for many of them, it was a lesser thing. And for some, it would be a friendly thing. Just to know about a spirit that's in a tree, animism. Or the spirits in the air, the elementals of the city of Ephesus. And their knowledge of the powers. But definition of the powers comes from biblical revelation. And so that's why we say, number one, biblical revelation reveals reality. Under that, we have this. The powers of God and demons are both real. Absolutely. God expresses his power. God's power was expressed in the Old Testament when the sea was divided and the Israelites marched on through. God's power was demonstrated again and again and again. And obviously, the Spirit of God overshadowed the Virgin Mary, the conception that occurred, God in human flesh, walking on water, healing the sick, making the blind to see, raising the dead, all as a demonstration of the powers of God. So I think that Christians are more likely to say, absolutely, the powers of God are real, and we believe as Bible-believing or evangelical or even the idea of charismatic or, you know, Pentecostals and Baptists and many others in the flavors or denominations within Christendom. The bottom line is that when you're believing the Word of God, believe all of it. Believe everything it says. And everything it says we need as believers also. Because we're told that we are saved by the gospel, by believing the good news. And as Paul says concerning this gospel of among the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. We read about in James chapter 5, the power of prayer. We read in Ephesians or Hebrews chapter 4 about the power of the word of God. We read about the power of God. We read about in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, that the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. When you get saved, it's truly a power encounter, an exchange. And the power of God comes into your life. And Jesus promised for all believers in the end of Luke, in the beginning of the book of Acts, that we should receive power from on high. That when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he'll come on us in power that we might be witnesses. So there is a spiritual expressed power obvious in the believers in the book of Acts. Every spirit-filled believer knew they had the power of the Holy Spirit, that they were out there on the field, and you could see it expressed through them. Clearly, there was a presence and a power. Well, that's true on the other side also. And the more that Satanists and Luciferians and those that practitioners of voodoo and other forms, regardless of the titles, if they acquire the powers of darkness, the powers of darkness will use them. And we're going to see, as we've said again, and that's part of what we're all about here, is to say biblical revelation tells us that the days we're living in, the days to come, will be it'll be unparalleled as far as demonic manifestation and presence. There'll be more people demonized and so forth. Well, we've already talked about that in Revelation 18. Again, looking to the future prophecies and then scaling down to where we are right now and doing like the prophets did. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, with tremendous intensity and careful, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, they were looking into the prophecies to see when these things. Well, it's beautiful to look into the prophecies now because we're looking into seeing the coming of the Son of God, the arrival of our Savior. We are the blessed hope, as the Word of God says. So that's an exciting thing, but let us remember that things like this, old theology, that is Bultmann, the old German theologians and so forth, demythologizing Scripture, taking out and saying, listen, these supernatural things in the Scripture aren't really real, they're just myths and so forth. And they were trying to explain away, and they had no ability really to communicate, and they weren't being faithful to the Scripture, to the Lord, who is the Savior of heaven and earth. And they didn't see the power of God displayed. They were cold, empty theologians. And that's why some of them were even pushed further into liberalism. We also have the theology of cessationism, where some believed that all certain miraculous giftings of God ended with the apostles. And that also has lent itself to trying to stay quiet about satanic powers. I've had an individual write me about not talking about the devil because it will glorify him. If you talk about the devil, it will give him more power. Well, none of that is true. And if talking about the devil or revealing the devil's works and so forth is a bad thing, then I think that they really need to look at Jesus' ministry and see what he did in his first day alone in dealing with demonic powers and how real they were. In Mark chapter 5, you see, only those who, you know, are going to live for Jesus, live in his power, and in the mission that he's given, we are to do as he did, which includes the deliverance of those who have demons. And when you look at Mark chapter 5, many modern day, even some ministries that are based on a secular version of psychology, would just send the demonized to the psych ward to be drugged up. And the truth is, I've talked with counselors and psychologists and Christians who know both sides of the fence, the drugs will only kill the capacity inside the person that's demonized. In other words, the drugs will kind of hinder the demonic presence from using them. Thus, they don't hear the voices and feel certain things as much. But when the drugs wear off, drugs don't chase demons away. And without the biblical revelation of what the Bible says about demons and Satan and the powers, if we do not grasp that, if we do not believe what God says, what the Scripture says, and really take it to heart, then we will probably not be able to minister the way Jesus did, and we will see people ruined, and again, just secular versions of counseling will not help them at all. As a matter of fact, I just did a newsletter that we sent out. We linked it to where a friend had sent me an article from Germany about how the Germans are crying out for exorcists to come there. Same thing is going on in Italy. And Europe is packed with demonized individuals. And England is too. And the question is, you know, do we just drug them up and cart them off and kind of psychologically manage individuals like that? Well, some will commit suicide. Some will take their own lives. Some will take the lives of others. Because the powers are real, and once they take hold, there's only one way out of it. It's the idea of being lost and being unsaved. There's only one way to come back to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And let me say again that no one can expel the demonic. Now, I know that in the New Age, and we'll talk about this throughout the course too, I've read a book here lately, Forbidden Religion, other stuff, where New Agers and those that are practitioners of kind of metaphysical, Hinduistic, pantheistic spirituality are beginning to say that they're doing kind of an exorcism of negative energy, and really what they're doing is placating the demonic powers, and they have no effect. And they've acknowledged, even in this book that I was reading, they acknowledged that when people use the name Jesus and do those kind of exorcisms, it brings on a major battle and it can be very loud and ugly. And that's because there's an opposition to the demonic. And when demons are exposed and demons are spoken against by the authority of Christ, that's when they show their great displeasure. Now, you can read about that again in Acts chapter 8 when Philip went into that city preaching the gospel, which included the healing of lives, and also demons went out with screams, with screeches. That happens, and it can be kind of loud and scary looking, but never forget, and I want to encourage you throughout this entire course to have things memorized, like in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, when Jesus said, "I have given you," it's in the perfect tense in the Greek, meaning a permanent presence within you, ultimately a permanent presence within you. The idea that it's abiding here and now. He gave it to us at the moment of salvation, but it's a living presence, a living thing right now. So he says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions." That's biblical figure for demons, the demonic powers. We're supposed to trample them. And then it says, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. See the phrase, nothing will harm you. And see, I've met so many Christians and even in churches that are really afraid that if they would pray in their church that any demonized individuals, the demons would be exposed, that all of a sudden there would, you know, someone might manifest demonic presence and they wouldn't know what to do. Well, you know what? So that what would you do? Just silence everything and let the demonized individual be held in misery? Let a doorway stay open? Let an individual's life be dragged further and further into darkness? All the while the church doesn't display the compassionate and authoritative ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten as spiritual leaders 1 John 3:8? When it says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Remember in the gospel, there was a lady who was bent over for 18 years. And Jesus commanded, listen, he healed her and he attributed her physical malady to Satan. He said Satan had her bound 18 years. So in the church, do we just leave people that way because we're afraid that it might get scary or messy or someone might in the church might run out or whatever else? Absolutely the opposite occurs when the real authority, real compassion, real power of God confronts, forcing the exposure of the demonic presence and then the expelling of the demonic presence and then the release of the power of God into lives. Now that's something that I have seen hundreds of times now. And I've seen in churches and among people and on the field. And it didn't make any difference where. In the car, sitting at McDonald's. All kinds of places where we've had to do deliverance sessions, exorcisms, and freedom encounters. So biblical revelation, if we're Bible believers, if we believe the Word of God, then you got to know everything it says about the satanic powers are absolutely real. His power is real, and how he operates is real. And in 2 Corinthians chapter, we're reading right away in the first two chapters, you know, we have this tremendous revelation of what Paul was going through and his deliverance by the power of God, but then also his statement that we're not unaware of Satan's schemes, that we might be outwitted. And without knowing the biblical foundations, I think Christians will be afraid of what's really out there and just continue to back up further and further and put another lock on their door and another lock on their door and become more and more silent, hoping that someday it'll all be over. And that's the opposite of what God made his church. His church is to be a blaze and on mission. And truly, not only does the world get turned upside down when we're on mission, but the demonic kingdom is constantly trampled because of faithful warrior witnesses that are doing the work. And so it begins with believing what the Word says. As a matter of fact, let me say this, because I read a lot of materials, and I know I felt I've had to for 20-some years, of all of the dark side of stuff. And to take confiscated materials, let alone the popular materials, and I'm to be abreast of this information so that I can do what I do. But part of the issue is this, that many people out there in the world, especially New Agers, do not realize that the energies, the presence, the so-called personal angels and so forth, they don't have any clue to what those supernatural powers really are. Supernatural powers are guiding people psychically. Supernatural powers are, you know, bringing visions and dreams and touching people and doing things through people and causing them to write and hear voices. And some being taken over, or maybe they're just saying they're channelers. Channelers of what? Channelers of ascended masters. Who are they? Well, the book of Ephesians reveals, chapter 6 reveals the ascended masters, that they are the principalities and powers, the rulers, cosmocrators. They are the wicked forces in the heavenly realms. And that's been predicted by the Spirit of God that in these days and the days ahead of us, which will even be a greater and broader ramping up. Now, it doesn't mean a lessening of the power of God. I don't care how much darkness falls, God's power will always be megdala, greater. So this is very important. When Philip went into the city of Samaria, the whole city was under the powers of darkness. The whole city was captivated by dark magic. And yet he took in the light and he unleashed the good news of God in Christ. And he prayed for the healing of lives. And he by that presence of Christ and authority, demons were exorcised, kicked out of lives. And the end of the story in Acts chapter 8 is that the entire city was full of joy. Literally, when we do the full ministry of Jesus, it's like, just like unleashing revival wherever we go. So I want to encourage you as you're going through this study about satanic powers real. I'm going to tell you, they're real. I mean, when I have demons over the years talk to me, when I have Satanists do rituals and blood rituals and human blood and animal blood and all these kind of things, I have felt the attack of the demonic side. I understand them. I don't know them like they know them in the sense that I practice them, experience them in that sense. I know them on a kind of intellectual or a biblical way of knowing the demonic side without being involved as far as practicing. So I think it's very important that every Christian come to the realization. Not that we live in fear and that we're focusing, looking on what demon is around every corner. We're to live in the presence and power of God, but by the sheer presence and power of God, normally we will cause a stirring if there's any demonic presence in people or places that we are traveling in or about, and people that we're interacting with. And if we're out evangelizing, we're definitely going to be engaged in these days. I'm estimating that one out of every other person you're going to meet is going to have some kind of other spiritual background and have some level of past involvement or present involvement, New Age, anywhere from the New Age to the darkest of dark stuff. So, know the biblical side. Under number one on page 11, the fallen cherub's origin, it's all real. And everything about his powers when he was an anointed cherub, and even now that he is now called Satan the devil, he still has this massive power. And Jesus talked about this power in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Where does he say that? You know what he says? I have given you authority to trample on snake, the demons, and to overcome all the what? All the power of the enemy. Same Greek word, dunamis. Satan has spiritual power. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, as we've talked about in past thing courses, and we'll talk about a lot here, again, it talks about the ruler or the prince of the power of the air who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, the Greek word for work is the word energeis, which means the idea of a supernatural operative power. So I'm trying simply to share with you that there's real power. Satan emanates power. He has power. The demons have power. They have levels of power and levels of manifestation. Now, I've also said under C, point C, number one, that the powers of stealth and deception are mostly unseen and undiscerned, but real. Just because, like a thief at night. Years and years ago, somebody came in and I woke up the next morning and somebody got into my car and stole all my cassette tapes and everything I had in the car, which was a little, you know, probably some change and a whole bunch of cassette tapes. Now, I didn't know they came. I didn't know what occurred. I didn't know it until I got there and saw it. But it occurred. They were really out there. And, the neat thing was all the cassette tapes that they stole were all Christian music tapes. And so I hope that they would be blessed and God would speak to them about their theft and what they've done. But the fact is that most of the powers are unseen and undiscerned, but they are real. When Peter and the disciples were sitting with Jesus, remember the Lord's table, the Last Supper? And they're all gathered together eating. Who in the entire group discerned that Satan had entered the room? Two things occurred in that room. Right where Jesus was, two things occurred. Because I've heard Christians say, well, you know what? They can't enter the church. You see those kind of crazy television shows like, you know, let's all run to the church building. That's kind of an old, thin Catholic version of holy ground, which is not true. In Acts chapter 5, Satan found a doorway in Ananias and Sapphira and was trying to enter into the infant church to bring corruption. When we find Jesus at the table, guess what happens at that place? Two things occur. One is Satan himself enters into Judas. You can read that in the Gospel of Luke. He literally enters him right there at that meeting. You say, well, man, I mean, listen, can a demon enter a Christian right inside of a church? Absolutely. If the legal doorways are there. Judas had legal doorways wide open. And Satan, right in that room, entered him. Remember when Jesus said, what you're going to do, go do quickly? And he left and he did it. And he was completely guided by the power, presence, directly of Satan. And then Jesus also said in that room at one point, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Now, that reveals a lot to us. Nobody in that room knew what was going on. Nobody. Other than Jesus. And this is the big difference. Now that Christ is in your life, Jesus is in your life. He can give you a heads up. That's why in a daily way when we pray, we're praying and worshiping the Lord and praying for the lost and praying for the church and praying against the satanic powers. And whenever I say the phrase, you know, of the Lord's Prayer, and Lord, deliver me from the evil one. That's when I have like my attention. Only at that point, Lord, is there anything Satan's doing? Is there any curses coming? Is anything I need to know of any attacks, you know, any oppression, any lies, any of those arrows he's trying to send to me? That's where I can let the Spirit of God. There's a billion demons, and all that they're doing is all completely and totally known by the Spirit of God. He knows everything. The omniscience of the Spirit, the omnipresence of the Spirit of God, and He's dwelling in you. So when you read in 1 John 4, greater, Magdala, massively greater is the Spirit of God in you than the one that's in the world, referring to Satan and all of his powers. All the demons that exist, and Satan himself, cannot collectively challenge the presence of the Spirit of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus. simply can't. But where there's legal grounds and where they're operating, and that's what they're all looking for. And the issue in the case of the Lord's table was nobody knew but Jesus himself. And Jesus said, you know, Simon, Simon, Satan, just ask you. And this is true of the church, one of the churches in the book of Revelation. Among the seven churches, remember that one of them, Jesus said, hey, I'm giving you, basically saying, I'm giving you a heads up. Satan's coming to get some of you and to put some of you in prison. And if you understand and study that particular one in the culture where martyrdom and persecution was occurring, Jesus attributed the intensity of persecution to the direct working of Satan himself. Satan would cause it. Our struggle, you get it yet? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, rulers, unseen beings that are absolutely real. Uncontested, they continue to try to, you know, move forward and push in every direction. And they're finding more and more doorways and lives and people, and that's why there's so much more stuff going on. But the reality of the powers is, you know, clearly revealed, as we've already said earlier in the other sessions in Scripture, in both stories and direct statements and so forth. They are primarily those stealth, and the deception is there, and mostly, in a sense, unseen. And when I say that, the core issue is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it refers to this. Notice how the entire end of history that involves the apocalypse, that means the Antichrist being revealed to the world and operating, you know, for the, you know, 6 or some years, you know, totally or whatever, about 7 years, but he doesn't even operate fully except for a few of those years. But he's here, and the false prophet, and again, the unparalleled presence and power of demons, counterfeit stuff, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. And it refers to all of this, the backdrop of all of the manifestations are found in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says the secret power of lawlessness is already at what? Work. A supernatural operative power is absolutely under the table, operating in the bringing forth of the Antichrist and bringing forth of the Luciferian-oriented globalism, which the world will move that direction. And it's all under the guiding powers and forces, satanic forces. Now, the reason we're emphasizing this is so that we know how to use our authority. And what to hit, what to recognize, what to preach as a warning to individuals to come out of, and then realize again, never to be afraid, but to be, again, displaying the manifest presence and power of God, ultimately for the salvation, healing, and deliverance of lives, but in defiance of the rise of satanic powers. Well, point two on that page, satanic powers were and are displayed in the heavenlies when the anointed cherub obviously defected, and it probably took some time to convince one third of the angels to leave, and that involved his powers, as it did in the Garden of Eden, as we've read. He came down. Listen, his ability to make himself like an angel of light, Satan masquerades, we read that in the book of Corinthians, as an angel of light. That involves supernatural ability. So again, that's why we're looking at a world that is just moving at a supernatural rate. And things that are happening, and books that are being written, and talk shows, and webinars, and all kinds of stuff. Supernatural powers. It doesn't always have to look like a red head with horns and fangs and, you know, Satan comes as an angel of light. Again, stealth and deception are at the forefront of satanic power. In the Old Testament, the gods and ritual sacrifice and worship is displayed. Powers were there. That's why people went after it. They wanted even little idols that would bring, you know, fertility and wealth, idols of wealth that they were to give up. But they were attached to because listen, I'm going to tell you again, the satanic powers can give. these things temporarily to rock stars and movie stars and to any other person who wants to bow down. Remember what he said to Jesus? He shows them all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all these if you will bow down and worship me. Now that, again, is part of the methodology, the satanic methodology that he is offering to the most wealthy, the most powerful politicians, and that would include rock stars, movie stars, across the board. He will offer, through alternative spirituality and even direct, like Sammy Davis Jr., by the way, I don't know if you knew this, for a while was a Satanist and even had his one little pinky finger colored and was a part of the Church of Satan, as were other Hollywood stars and as are a number of rock stars. And we'll be doing a thing later on just Satanism and rock music and so forth, or just any kind of music. Doesn't have to be rock in order to have the satanic influence. So the satanic presence and power is deeply exposed in the New Testament. Here's some of the things they do. I'm going to just go through a litany of things on page 11 and 12, referring to the demonic presence. They call out and look for open doors. They really are knocking. They really are pursuing. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Holy Spirit reveals that they're going to come and they're going to come through individuals. And as they come through false teachers and so forth, that's where they then deceive many more. Now, next, counterfeit prophets. They had them in that day, counterfeit teachers. Matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2, which is a very key chapter, by the way, very key chapter, about the many antichrists. How do we know it's the last hour of human history? Well, the Holy Spirit tells us there that we know it's the last hour because many antichrists have gone out in the world, many, and that the antichrist is coming. So there's going to be more and more false prophets, false teachers, gurus, and, you know, antichristu, the people that are saying that they're the Christ, like Hindu gurus do, and like a lot of New Age teachers and cult leaders do, and numerous of those, including Sun Moon, and David Koresh at one time said he was the sinning savior, and you're going to find this to be true of a lot of the Eastern gurus. So counterfeit prophets and teachers, again, there's satanic powers behind that. Counterfeit signs and wonders. Look again at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And really, Satan can counterfeit all the gifts of the Spirit. He can, you know, we've dealt with a lot of false gift of tongues, false prophecies. In the Old Testament, lying spirits would prophesy through false prophets. You know, spirits would inspire them. And that's why when there's supernatural workings and giftings in the church, we should know that they should flow with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and in complete sync with the Word of God. And if they don't, they're not from God. Simply, they're not from God. And the church of Corinth was dealing with that. In chapter 12, the very, very beginning, because of the Temple of Delphi, where the oracles would be speaking by inspiration of spirits. And there the Spirit of God clearly through Paul writes and tells us that nobody can claim that Jesus Christ, you know, on a personal level is Lord and acknowledge him as totally his Lord except by the Spirit of God. And then on the other hand, nobody, the only people that would be cursing Jesus would be by false spirits. You can't have the Holy Spirit of God and be inspired to mock and deny Christ. That just cannot happen. And that's kind of, again, evident there because of the clash of powers, clash of kingdoms. On page 12, counterfeit doctrine, the teaching itself that comes in Eckhart Tolle's book or in the book, The Course of Miracles. Well, I can go over, you know, 30 books and materials, Alice Bailey's, all of those writings out there. And many of the New Age and, again, people... They're acknowledging that they have supernatural guidance in what they're revealing, and that but they're doctrines of demons. And the key is, I don't care how supernatural the guidance was, if the guidance goes contrary to the originally given Word of God that was given by the Spirit of God and of Jesus and the denial of Jesus and the moving of people away from, well, then we know it's demonic inspiration. I think Deuteronomy chapter 13, mark it down on your notes here and look at it later, is a real good grid so that if someone comes doing a sign or wonder or spiritual thing, but if they move you away from the living God and the Word of God, they're to be rejected completely. And on the contrary, we should be preaching the truth to them and warning them to get out of the deception. That means the very leaders and core people. Look at Saul of Tarsus. And obviously not led by the Spirit of God. And he attacked the church. Yet Jesus, you know, dropped him to his knees, ultimately saved him, and turned him into a great missionary. And that's why I'm saying if we live out the presence and power, which, again, is unequaled, unmatched, incredible, but it has to, again, the law of engagement. God operates. If we don't pray, nothing happens. If we don't witness, nobody gets saved. If we don't pray for anybody to get healed, nobody gets healed. And if we don't use the authority of Christ, then nothing contests the constant development of demonic presence and power. Well, let us also mention that counterfeit supernatural vision and dreams can occur among psychics and many New Agers and others. Demons can give dreams and so forth. Again, it will always be in accordance with leading people into spiritual distraction, spiritual alternative, further and further away from the gospel and of God. Counterfeit agenda, the agenda moving history, all of Europe. Listen, we're talking about nations. We're talking about political systems. Do you think for a moment they're not operating in the very centers of governmental powers? That's where their power demons are, man. That's where the territorial, like the Prince of Persia over Babylon, that's where the up-in-the-air principalities, let alone down attached or into the buildings and into lives, all trying to guide governments right now into that into globalism and into having everything necessary ready for global control by the time and rise of the Antichrist. Well, let's go on. The development and rise of the Antichrist himself is all by supernatural power. 2 Thessalonians 2, we've already said that it's a supernatural operative work. And most likely, I couldn't say it factually, but most likely he's already been born and it's been a supernaturally devised conception in a demonic sense and supernaturally anointed counterfeit anointing. Again, you can read about counterfeit anointing in 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2 talks about the counterfeit anointing. The development and rise of the false prophets, of the false prophet and the Antichrist and Babylon. Again, the book of Revelation bears this out. And it gives us an incredible behind the scenes picture of how, well, it lists up to over 60 times angels are referred to operating and working in the midst of those last days. The clash of the two kingdoms, the demons, the angels of God, the presence of Satan, the presence of God, the power of the gospel, the power of deception and Satan are going to come into the highest level of manifestation and clashing that will erupt on the satanic side anyway, into the destruction of probably billions of lives. And so that's why we should know that these powers are real and there's something that can be done about it. If you believe the word of God, then you know the powers are real. If you are going to do the ministry of Jesus, you will confront those powers. If you are a Christian, you're to have on the armor of God. Because why? There's a supernatural working that sometimes comes against you. And the arrows of the enemy that bring lies and influence to try to crush our faith and break us down. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. So the satanic kingdom on the one hand wants to devour Christians and weaken them like the early disciples to sift them as wheat, and break down our faith, shoot those flaming arrows to create doubt and distraction and discouragement and anything they can to get us away from believing Christ and stepping out in real biblical faith. By the way, let me say this, and something for you to think about in your heart and mind spiritually. Real biblical faith always moves us to action. It's an action. If you're really believing, then you're really moving. If you believe God about his power presence and about prayer and about what he will do, then you're going to pray. And about witnessing, then you're going to do those things. And you're going to see the power of God, the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you. And you have a lot of stories and testimonies to tell. Look at Philip in the book of Acts. How many stories does he have to tell? The victories that he has to tell. And so I've got to see this over so many years now that there's many, many victories. The only places that there are defeats is when we give in or we grow tired or we grow discouraged and we slow down or stop for a while, on the one hand. On the other hand, when people that we're ministering to don't want to give up the dark presence or the counterfeit powers and they want to embrace the dark side, well, again, the key chapters that we need to really know today, 2 Thessalonians 2 says this: they perish because they refuse to love the truth. Not because God didn't want them, not because they couldn't have been saved, but because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Well, let's continue. There's going to be supernatural inspiration behind the cults, a sect, the New Age. If you even do a Google search on, quote, the family, referring to Moses Berg and the entire, the damage done. So many testimonies on YouTube of those who've come out of the sexual, spiritual abuse of Moses Berg and the family. There's going to be supernatural inspiration behind military. Listen, if anybody ever gets this by the providence of God, the supernatural operative power, the secret power of darkness, seeks military, seeks the development of weapons, seeks the guidance, and even the inspiration behind some law, which would usually be to ousting the gospel and breaking people's freedoms and so forth, so as to hinder. That's why, again, the Holy Spirit reveals in Timothy chapter 2, remember what God says? First of all, and with urgency, pray. Prayers, supplications, the general, the specific, with thanksgiving, for all kings, the leaders. Pray for all of them. And the Word of God concludes, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And just lately I've heard that there's a possibility of a very, very globally powerful person that got a hold of some of our teaching, the Black Awakening materials. And I'm just praying about that right now and wondering what that's all about. And bottom line, the salvation of souls. A number of military soldiers have downloaded our last sessions we've done on soldiers don't say suicide. And so, again, we can have, again, God's got an agenda, and ultimately his goes forward, and he wins. We win because of him. But knowing what the enemy's doing is a biblical mandate. That's why there's so much revealed in the New Testament that we should know so that we can warn the world, confront the dark powers. And again, like it says in Jude, what does it say in Jude? To snatch them from the fire. Snatch them from the fire. Someone one time said, let others have a chapel beneath an ivory-covered bell, but let me run a rescue ship 1 foot away from hell. Even the thief on the cross was able to get saved in the last moments before his death. And so we can, again, evangelize and pray for people who've been sucked in so many levels of deception. The good news is the gospel is the power of God. The word of God penetrates and cuts through the blinding of Satan, the deception. But we are the vessels to carry that to the rest of the world. Well, again, revealing again the supernatural inspiration. And this is for all those in the UN out there, United Nations. The supernatural inspiration behind the Christ-rejecting globalism. Look at it in that simple term. Supernatural inspiration behind Christ-rejecting globalism is clearly a Luciferian power evident, manifested, and at work. Well, in all of the above, please again remember that satanic powers do operate. Please remember Luke 10, the authority of Christ. Please remember Thessalonians chapter 2 and the revelation of the secret power of lawlessness. Please remember Ephesians 6, that we're to have the full armor of God so we can take our stand. Having that full armor means that the power, the mighty expressed power of God manifests through our lives, not only in, but through. Remember Ephesians 1, where it speaks to the Christians, believers who have the incomparably great power. The power of God is incomparable. In 1 John 4, it is greater. And in 1 John 2, that we have the real anointing. So part of our emphasis in this course for believers is to say, hey, you know, remember who you are. Remember again that you're saved and it's about the love of God and relationship, but it's all about a battle that occurs too. It all began Genesis 3:15 when God prophesied the coming of Messiah, that it would be a clash, that Satan would be there to fight it. And he'll be there to fight it to the very end, to the very day Jesus himself is revealed out of the heavens, Revelation 19, the counterfeit incarnated Satan, the false prophet who's kind of a type of an opposite of the Holy Spirit, and then the nations, the kings and all the military leaders that have taken the mark that are drenched in satanic powers will be led out onto that field of blood. And that's why we need to warn soldiers and warn people today about that kind of globalism and about the direction. That's why we need to warn New Agers about the greatest spiritual betrayal in human history will be when Antichrist rises. And, you know, New Agers are going to be guided into and forced into the worship of Antichrist himself. And so many of them will just automatically take it all up and do it. So let me tell you this. There's going to be times in your churches where in some of those, the real underground Satanists are testing the church and the powers of the church. They've been doing it for 30 years to see what they can do to counterfeit, to use their powers. They've learned satanic warfare. Our last newsletter has a little link to the left side where it talks about it's a satanic site. You can go to it and look at it, where real Satanists who believe that Satan is really guiding them are talking about ramping up their powers against Christians, unleashing satanic powers against. Do the Satanists, the real Satanists, know spiritual warfare? Yes. Do they know how to unleash and target and unleash curses and hexes and spells? All kinds of things are now coming, and what once was hidden, things like the Black Mass and very, very old and powerful rituals are now on the web and in our books, and people are taking it up and they're using them. Will Christians feel some things more and whatever else? It's very possible. But please understand, Philip, there you have a man that's manifesting the great power, satanic deceptive power that is controlling the high and the low in the city. But when Philip goes in, filled with the Spirit of God, preaches the good news of Jesus, prays for individuals and some get healed, and then by the authority of Christ, causes the exposure and then expels the demons that go out with noise, screams, the clash, power encounters occurred. Power encounters are inseparable from truth encounter. It's inseparable. It's not just that he went there and spoke words or read the Bible out loud. I mean, I've seen, you know, that's why the Catholic exorcism book material, it's just all religion. You don't just get up and read to demons like in the exorcism of Emily Rose. I would encourage you prayerfully to watch the video, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, because it was a true story. You can read the book. Because there is some violent stuff there and some ugly stuff there. But, you know, only look at it. I mean, you just can't look at it as entertainment, just as research. And you're going to see the failure of the Catholic version of exorcism, of just reading. When you just simply read stories and read stuff out of books to demons, they don't care. You can read them all day long. Notice again the simplicity of Jesus, commanding them to come up, come out, get out, don't come back, leave, so forth. He ordered them, and they had to obey. And that's what will happen now with believers. We've been given the authority. Look again at Luke chapter 10. As the disciples come back, you'll have that same experience. Whenever and wherever you find demonic presence in people, even if it's someone that comes in and says, I have oppression, I have this dark cloud around me, and I feel like God doesn't love me, and I feel like I shouldn't even go to church, and I don't even want to read my Bible. Well, where's all that coming from, especially if you're a believer? Because the Spirit of God doesn't give any of those feelings. Obviously, if a person is going through things, or if their own shield of faith is down, the enemy does seek to oppress Christians, to devour Christians. That's why you got to decide every day, dear Christian, to rise up and step out in faith on every day. You know, faith is this, listen, believing the Lord for everything every day about Him, His presence, His love, His power, His truth. You know, we're shielded by God's power. So if you're in a daily sense meeting the Lord and constantly refreshing yourself and finding yourself in kind of a little personal revival on a daily basis, then you're going to be prepared and you're going to be used and God's going to lead you. Guess where the Spirit of God led Jesus? Remember when the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord fell upon him in power? You can read about this even too in the Gospel of Luke. The Spirit of God, or in the Gospels where you deal with the temptation. Who led Jesus out into the desert? You know what it says? The Spirit of God led him out into the desert, into that temptation to have a head-on battle with Satan. The Spirit of God, if you're willing, as a warrior witness in these days, may lead you to demonize people. By the way, our teams this Friday, we've already prayed this last Friday for the next Friday, Lord, a certain city we're going to with about 8 of us. And we've already said, Lord, you know, in all the other prayers we've done, part of the prayers were, Lord, if there's any demonized people there, lead us to them. A supernatural, providential leading and guidance. Why? If there's young Satanists that are getting into satanic stuff, if there's young individuals that are beginning to develop as a psycho-Satanist, well, we want to get to them first with the power, presence, love of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus died for them, and his power is overwhelmingly greater, and God will use your life as you and I step out. So I thank the Lord that you're studying and guide, you know, just delving into all of this. You don't need to be afraid. Believe the Lord. Take the information in. Do your research for whatever you feel God is leading you to do. In Daniel's day, God gave him all the learning of the literature of the Babylonians and so forth. He knew all of their stuff. He didn't participate in it. But he also, the simple bottom line was, he was resolved not to be defiled and to stay faithful to Yahweh, to the Lord. And so just be the same way. Be resolved and let nothing move you. As a matter of fact, when I see evil, when I hear stuff, actually it moves me to stand up and to sing triumphantly songs like Onward Christian Soldier and stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner. It must not suffer lost. Now, when you read even some of those hymns, and I would encourage you to take some of those old hymns like that, even Onward Christian Soldier, and refresh yourself in it and realize that in those days, the church understood the battle, not against flesh and blood, but against real powers, powers of God operating in your life. Nevertheless, demonic powers are real, ritual powers are real, satanic presence and operating power in government, military, institutions, education, and in personal lives are real. And the only answer is the incredible gospel of our Lord Jesus. God so loved this world, but he also came to destroy Satan's work. The Lord bless you in this session. You know the powers are real. Live and dwell in the presence power of the Lord Jesus, His Word. And again, let me just give to you and bless you with Acts chapter 9, verse 22. That as Saul of Tarsus got saved, became Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, began to witness, it says he grew more and more powerful. May God bless you with growing more and more powerful in the Lord Jesus as you minister to others. See you in session number 5.